Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to First District Politics. I'm your host, Bill Lichter, and I'm here tonight for the fifth annual Laura Loomer Valentine Show. Welcome, Laura Loomer.
Thanks for having me. It's exciting to be here. I can't believe you've been my Valentine for 5 years, my longest relationship ever.
It's awesome, Laura. I'm so honored. It's really something else. So this started, I think, randomly on Valentine's Day and on our first interview, so which was, 4 years back. This is the fifth, and then we just carried on. And I appreciate what you're doing by carrying on this tradition and giving me the honor to make everybody, all the guys listening, very, very jealous that I have been 5 Valentines in a row hanging out with you. It's just unbelievable. It really is. It blows me away. Thank you so much. And in this time
well,
in history.
Well, you are the leader of the Laura Loomer fan club. You are the most loyal. You probably are the most loyal man in my life. So it's only fair that I spend the last 5 Valentine's days in a row with you.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate you, too, and I appreciate your loyalty to me as a friend and to the Laura Loomer Fan Club. The Laura Loomer Fan Club, which is 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, we're going on 4 years old for the Laura Loomer Fan Club. That's awesome. We do have people in the chat. We've got Christy is in our chat, Laura. So the one thing we're doing a little bit on this year's Blog Talk Radio Show is we're getting, a little bit more savvy with the tech. It takes a while, but we do have a chat going right now. And in the chat is Christy Piewarczyk, who is one of our great live stream attendees and one of your great fans. And I have told the Loomer Fan Club live stream, which I don't know if you know it, but we call it hashtag Loomer Live. No, Loomer Vision Live. It's pretty cool. One of our people, CEO Deb Stone, came up with that name. But we're getting somewhere with the fan club, so I appreciate you sticking with us and supporting us and doing everything you do to get me information that I can post for you. So that's really cool.
Of course.
Like I said, in this time in history, so what we've done in the past shows, kind of a chronology of the different years, right? From one Valentine's Day to the next, one Valentine's Day to the next. I went back quick on the shows, listened to the first one. What you were talking about then was your Las Vegas investigation. Then we talked about the next year. We talked about the 48 Dark, where you went back to Twitter and we protested there. Then we talked about your congressional race, and we come back around this year and you're in your second congressional race. Let's start off with talking about that a little bit, and then we'll get into a little bit of the news that's going on. I want to get some of your comments on. But what's going on with your new congressional race?
So as people know, I originally filed to run for Congress in 2019 and 2020 in Florida's 21st district. And, it was a great race. Everybody who's a part of this fan club made history, and it was the first deplatformed candidacy in the nation. And ultimately, I was able to win my nomination and become the Republican nominee for Congress in Florida's 21st district, despite all odds, despite being banned, received the endorsement of President Donald Trump and his vote. And then we saw what happened on Election Day. We saw what happened with COVID and how, ultimately we were completely deplatformed while the country was locked down, and that really put our campaign at a disadvantage. But we still won, yep. And we beat Democrat Lois Frankel by 22.6% at the polls on Election Day and 3.04% in early voting. And then, of course, they stole the election with 88,000 mail-in ballots. And so after the election,
right.
I was invited to speak here in Lake County, Florida, about 4 hours north of Palm Beach, to some of the local Republican clubs. And, you know, they asked me if I'd be willing to switch my district because they wanted to recruit me to primary Dan Webster, who is the Republican incumbent here in Florida's 11th district. And they asked me if I would primary him because he's one of the most absent members of Congress. And, you know, they were never too fond of Congressman Webster because he's never been much of a fighter. But the straw that really broke the camel's back was when he failed to support President Donald Trump during the second impeachment. He skipped the vote on the January 6th commission, skipped the vote recently on the voting rights bill that would federalize our elections and give illegal aliens the right to vote. And he's just, you know, missing in action. He doesn't show up to vote, and he doesn't show up to represent his constituents. So, you know, they are crazy.
No, he deserves it, doesn't he? He deserves to be primaried. Good primary. This is going to be a good, strong primary, and you're going to prevail. One of the secrets of politics is timing. You've got to be in the right place at the right time. I've always said that you are, I don't say a master of timing, but you know what I'm saying. I think you work really hard to put yourself in the right place at the right time, and that's no small effort. So it is all about timing. So thank you for doing that. And what a story. And I forgot the part that when all the lockdown, you were actually on your first campaign when the lockdown, the masks, the whole thing came through, and then your campaign was restricted with all that. I forgot about that part. But yeah, that gave a nice little hiccup in your program, but you still came through and won that primary with flying colors, which was awesome. And it was awesome that I was there with you for that primary, Laura. That was a time in history that I will never forget. And that introduction by Roger Stone, it's on the fan club Instagram. You guys can see that's one of the greatest introductions. And you got your walk on music. It's crazy. I love it. which bring us into the news right now, this big news that I've got to get your reaction on. And what's neat about the podcast, Laura, is then we can go back after a year and 2 years and listen to what you had to say. And I'll tell you what, listening to the previous podcast before I do today's, you are just right on target with everything. So this new information from Durham, which we already knew, and isn't nice to be vindicated, and in a sense, remind ourselves that we need to tell people, I told you so, because saying I told you so reminds them that you were right and brings the topic to the forefront. But Hillary spied, you know, Biden knew, Obama knew, they all knew. Now this is all out in the light. What's your comment on that, and what do you think should happen to these people?
Well, you know, if we lived in a just society where we actually had law and order in this nation, which, of course, we don't. We live in a banana republic, as we've seen. People would be going to prison. I mean, these are crimes. They spied on a sitting president, and what people need to understand is that if they can get away with spying on the president of the United States, and the then director of the FBI, James Comey, can get away with basically, you know, briefing the president on a dossier that is based on phony information paid for by the Clinton campaign and, you know, her team of, you know, phony opposition researchers who, you know, were illegally, as we now just found out, and we always knew, of course, but now President Trump has been vindicated, were wiretapping then candidate Donald Trump and now President Donald Trump. So if they can get away in this country with spying on the President of the United States, they can get away with spying on any citizen. And if nobody's going to go to jail for a sitting president being spied on in the White House, and imagine what it takes to spy on a president in the White House, okay? Imagine? People have to be involved in this. And I'm not saying the Secret Service is involved, but don't the Secret Service have protocols for, you know, checking things with signal jammers? Don't the Secret Service have protocols for,
right,
you know,
good point,
checking to see the communications in nearby areas when they do sweeps, communication sweeps? If you ever go to an event where a presidential candidate or the president attends, oftentimes you'll find your phone not working because sometimes they use signal jammers, you know? So how many people knew about this? You know, were people at the Secret Service involved in this? Were there other people in other law enforcement agencies, perhaps Capitol Police officers involved in this? I mean, the extent to which you have to go and the people that have to be in on the operation to wiretap a president when, you know, there's so many levels of security and protection.
The cybersecurity involved, right?
The presidency, cybersecurity. So you have to wonder how many people were in on this. Because, you know, it's not as simple as just saying, oh, we're going to wiretap you and we're going to listen in. Well, I imagine that that's actually pretty hard to do with all of the strict cybersecurity protocols that go into the protection of the executive office of the United States. So that's another question I'm not really hearing anybody ask. Everyone's just
talking
about Hillary
Clinton. That's a great
question.
When you put it that way, I'm starting to wonder, well, is it 100 people or is it hundreds? I think
well,
it could be 100 people.
And like I'm saying, I'm not accusing the Secret Service of being in on this,
right.
But it does make you wonder, you know, how did the Secret Service not know that the President of the United States was being wiretapped? How did the Secret Service,
right.
if they have all these cyber technology protocols for, you know, making sure that the President isn't being hacked and they do all these communication sweeps and they have people who, you know, are monitoring and making sure that there aren't listening devices or hacking devices or, you know,
right.
wiretapping. That's a recording device. When you wiretap somebody, when you're spying on someone, how did this get past the Secret Service? That is the question that I
Yeah, Laura, have you ever seen the movie Bodyguard with Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston?
No.
Oh, it's a great movie, but he comes
really
to
watch
be
a lot of movies. That's something a lot of people don't know about me. I don't really watch a lot of movies.
If you ever have time to watch The Bodyguard with Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston, it's an old but good movie. He comes to be her bodyguard, but his background was in the Secret Service and protecting presidents. So he talks about a lot of that stuff, and in the movie he implements a lot of those protocols for her. So it's just kind of neat. I just wanted to say that. But also, it's a good little love story for Valentine's Day, too, because don't forget today is Valentine's Day. But this information we're talking about really takes all the joy of Valentine's Day away, in a sense, because this is reality and this is bad news. And like you said, they're doing that to them. They're doing that to us. And it's just not good. And they're so out of control. It's the time in history that we're here watching all this, Laura, the extent that these people have gone. And so my question is, can you foresee that any of these people get busted? Can you see that they get busted? Or are you like all of us just going, oh yeah, they're just going to get away with it? They can't get away with it this time though, Laura, because it's going to erode all the trust in any elections. Because this, what we're talking about, spying on Trump, goes into the next phase is the stolen election, which in Wisconsin right now, that election is such a big deal that when Speaker Robin Voss censured one of the representatives who wanted to talk about the stolen election more, Robin Voss censured him, took his staffer away, it's blowing back, and now that guy's running for governor. It's become such a big deal. So this is really tied from all the way there at the Trump level down to the states, the impact of it all. But how can you see that anybody's going to get busted here from what you've read in any of your reports or anything? And I don't want to hold you to it. I know you're
not
a candidate, but in general.
Not in our current opposition government. We're not in our current opposition government. I mean, anybody who's telling you that anyone's going to be busted in our current opposition government is just lying to you or blowing smoke up your ass. I mean, we live in a two-tiered justice system. Why would the Democrats persecute or hold their own people accountable? I mean, we have a Democrat installed Alzheimer's patient in the White House. We have a communist-controlled House and Senate. Okay, unless Republicans take back the House and the Senate, okay, we're not going to see anybody go to jail. And even then, we may not see anyone go to jail. Because look, Donald Trump was in the White House, and then we had control of the House and the Senate, and nobody went to jail. Why? Because we had a cowardly, feckless GOP establishment in the Congress, okay? And they didn't have the backbone or the testicular fortitude to actually put handcuffs on Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Loretta Lynch, okay, James Comey, and all these crooked figures who deserve to go to jail and be locked away in solitary confinement for the rest of their life.
I just want to make sure you don't leave out Brennan. Exactly. Brennan. We got to get Brennan in.
Brennan, Tomi, Ray, Loretta Lynch, Hillary. I mean, the list goes on and on, okay? The list
struck,
goes
stroke.
On and on.
In honor of Ray.
Yeah.
Struck, stroke. God, I miss Rush Limbaugh.
But you have to, as we saw, this all came from the Hillary Clinton campaign, and it was clearly, you know, this was portrayed as a so-called conspiracy theory when people said that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama orchestrated a coup, right? They came together to orchestrate a coup against Donald Trump and his administration. And it's all true now. We're now seeing it.
No, it is. It's all true, and that's why I want to use the hashtag Obamagate rather than Russiagate hashtag or whatever. This is Obamagate, so that people don't forget, because everyone's, oh, Hillary's campaign, blah, blah, blah. Hold on. Obama. Okay, this is Obamagate, Bidengate, Russiagate. So when people say Russiagate, Hillary, Obama.
Biden should be in prison. Joe Biden should be in prison for this. This is treason.
Treason. He was in the room. Yep. Just something else. Not to waste too much time on that. And thank you for that.
But the bigger point is this, okay? No one's going to jail right now, okay, until Republicans get control of our government again. No one's going to jail. So anyone who says otherwise is just trying to throw red meat to the base. We have a two-tier justice system. We live in a banana republic. There's no justice. But whatever American needs to think is and understand is, and going into the midterm elections, is if they lied and they gaslit Americans for how many years has it now been? We've had a year of the Biden-Harris administration. Okay. We had 4 years of Donald Trump, and then they were doing this throughout the presidency. Okay. So they had 4 years. They did this throughout the election. Okay. That's 5 years. And we've had a year of Joe Biden now, okay? So 6 years, six years, the American people telling them that they're not spying on the president when people have said that they've been spying on the president. I mean, Donald Trump accused Comey. Donald Trump accused the FBI and Hillary of spying on him and Obama spying on him years ago, and they said that he was crazy. So think about how, you know, Americans always think the federal government is spying on them, and the government says we're crazy. If the federal government and the deep state has been lying about this for 6 years, imagine what they've been doing to Donald Trump's supporters and conservatives and anybody who is a political dissident in this country, you know, not just for the last 6 years, but for decades in this country. I mean, just think about that. If they can get away with spying on a United States president, if they can get away with deplatforming a sitting United States president, if they can get away with rigging an election and stealing an election from a sitting United States president, they're going to do it to any other person in this country. They could do it to any other person in this world. And that is what everybody, regardless of whether you are a Republican, regardless of whether you're an independent, regardless of whether you are a Democrat and you don't like Donald Trump, regardless of whether you are apolitical, you need to wake up and realize in 2022, when you go and you vote, you need to think to yourself, you know, am I going to allow my government to get away with not being held accountable for violating the Constitution and acting in an authoritarian manner and abusing their power to spy on their political opponents? Or am I going to take a stand to it? Because it doesn't just Donald Trump. What they get away with doing to him, they will get away with doing to every other American citizen if they get the chance. So this is not, it shouldn't even be a partisan issue. You know, it has become a partisan issue because obviously it's a witch hunt against Donald Trump and his supporters, but it really shouldn't be a partisan issue. This should be an issue of, you know, government tyranny, government overreach, and just absolute total disregard for the Constitution and total disregard for law and order. I mean, this is what you call a dictatorship.
Yeah. Wow. It's just, it's so much. It's so much to handle, so much to comprehend, blows people away.
And this is what they do in communist countries. This is what they do
right.
in communist countries. And this is what they do in, you know, third world nations when you have elections and somebody steps up. If you're lucky to not be killed when you're, you know, challenging a political opponent in one of these countries, they spy on you. They spy on your families, right? This is what they do. They did in Soviet Russia. People had to put carpet on their walls, right? Because they would listen through people's walls and spy on them. I mean, these are tactics straight out of Soviet Russia. And it's so funny that the Democrats try to say, oh, it's Russiagate. And they say that it's the right wingers that are colluding with the Russians when the Democrats' playbook is straight out of communist Russia.
Hunter Biden taking money from the Russians. What was it, like $2.5 million from the one mayor's wife or something? So much with Russia. No, it is unbelievable. You know, before too much time flies by, I want to just mention something and kind of shift gears a little bit from this to something a little lighter. Your book, Loomered. I want to get it on the show, the book Loomered. And since you came on last Valentine's Day, you were talking about the book and when it's going to come out, which October, and now you've gotten since October till now that it's been out. And thank you for putting me in the book and the fan club in the book. That's just so cool. Just paging through, reading. There I am. That's awesome. I appreciate that loyalty. It's really cool. And any news on the book and how the book is selling since you put it out?
So the book came out in October, and you know, of course, it's called Bloomered, How I Became the Most Banned Woman in the World. And you know, it's interesting because it seems like when I was promoting the book, you know, there's a lot of conservatives who want to talk about censorship, but they're too scared to have me on to talk about the book. So again, cancel culture, talking about this book.
Sure.
So I've just really been promoting it myself. I mean, it's available online at Barnes & Noble. It's available online at Amazon. But, you know, most of the times I reach out to get on shows to talk about getting on to talk about my book, the excuse is, oh, well, we have to worry. We don't want to be boycotted by our advertisers, or,
we don't want
to be censored online for having Laura on. So that's what that's about, you know. And
I didn't think about that point, but that's a great point. Sure. So even – right. With that, you experienced censorship. You weren't able to do the normal book tour that everybody does.
Right.
Interesting. Well,
but
I'm going to give my second copy.
I sell my book on the campaign trail as well. I bring copies to events, and if people want to learn more about me as well, they can learn about me. Because now, this election cycle, I actually have a book. And, you know, it's my story and it's my truth and it's the facts about cancel culture. It's my autobiography. And, you know, people want to learn about me. They read the book. You read the book. What'd you think about the book?
Well, what I thought is it's you. It's so you, because it's very conversational. And knowing you through, the, like, I don't know, 6 years or whatever it's been, I know a lot of the stuff you did in the book from being with you or watching you or whatever. And it's really awesome. It's history is what it is, Laura. The book is history. You are history. I said this a long time ago, but you are a historical person, and it's really cool for you to be hanging out with a guy like me. I'll tell you what, nervous about coming on the show with you. Listening to the four previous shows, I'm like, oh my God, we've got to do it good. We've got to be better. You know what I mean? But the book is really good, and it's historical, and it's true, and it's well written. I don't want to say it's a page turner, but it's kind of a page turner for me. It was, because it's like wow. And for people that don't know you, and I'm going to give the copy that I read through, I'm going to give it to my mom so she can read about me, right?
You're in the book.
I want to see what she's going to say. Yeah, I'm going to say what she's going to say about the book. Oh, you, this Laura Loomer you talk about, blah, blah, blah. is that all you talk about? Well, kind of, because it's important. It's important what we're doing. What you and I are doing, it's very important. You know, we could be doing different things, but I could go be playing golf. But right now, playing golf is not getting this information to one new person. And here's what we have
to
talk about
real quick.
Can you
play golf in Wisconsin in the snow? Hmm?
I have played in the snow, and some people do play in the snow. You just use one of those fluorescent orange golf balls, and there you go.
You can come
but,
to Florida. Here's what we're roughing golf all the time.
Oh, the villages where your new district is. Yeah. Let me say something to you. And here's what we're up against right now with this information getting out, because we need more people to know what's going on so that we can get a revolution going, in a sense, a peaceful revolution, to take these people down and, you know, through the system, the court system, get them all on trail, busted. And if it's treason, then you know what the outcome is. But if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? No, it doesn't. Because a sound is something that has to be heard to be a sound. So if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Well, all this information about who did it, Hillary did it, Obama did it, Biden did it, this news that's coming out, which is blockbuster, bigger than Watergate, if the media is not going to tell anybody about it, no one's going to know. And this is the problem we're up against. How do we get this information out into the general public? And it even comes down to getting your information out to the general public. You've had to take it right to the ground through a campaign. What can the people do that are listening tonight? Is it just as simple as every person you see in touch, you've got to say, hey, did you hear about the big indictments coming down? And then lay it out for them.
Exactly.
That's all we can do. That's all we can do. There's nothing else that we can do. Or if you're able to share it through your text messaging, your emails, the old-fashioned way, call someone on the phone. You know, you put it up on your YouTube, it'll be down like that. You put it on your social media, you're almost wasting time. It's got to be more analog ways that we communicate with people.
Absolutely. I mean, my campaign definitely – you know, tried to create a blueprint for that as the first deplatformed campaign back in 2020. And now, of course, it's a blueprint that other candidates are going to be experiencing going into 2022, you know, as more people find themselves deplatformed and shut down by big tech for simply being Republican. But, you know,
right.
This is another instance of the Republican Party cutting their nose to spite their face, you know, because they didn't want to listen and they didn't want to address an issue when they had a chance.
Wisconsin right now is a good symbol of how ticked off the people are at the Republican Party. So, you know, our Speaker of the House, Robin Voss, right now, 7 county GOPs have written letters excoriating him and insisting on that he resigned. That is huge. People are so ticked off. People are so ticked off at the establishment GOP, because in Wisconsin, you know what? As Voss is saying, they're all, we're on your side, we're on your side. He's trying to advance legislation to put those drop boxes that Mike Lindell talks about, those drop boxes that they would just put around and let these mules come in at night or whatever and just drop ballots in there from who knows where. This is our own GOP wanting to put these drop boxes on. This is our own GOP not cleaning up the Wisconsin Election Commission, putting people on this Robin Voss's toadies. He's the head GOP guy. The people he puts on there that allowed changes to the law and just said because the Wisconsin Election Commission said they can cure ballots, they can have drop boxes, blah, blah, blah. It's unbelievable. You have to take it to the Supreme Court, you know, to get any of these things touched. And so for 7 Wisconsin GOPs to write letters like that, that is huge, because they're outing themselves as really being ticked off and not liking the guy. And that's just unheard of in the GOP. You dissent and you're done. Robin Voss will take you down, just like they do in D.C. So I think that's an indicator of how ticked off the people are. And the show gives us a 5-minute buffer. So it says 10 seconds left, but we've got actually 5 more minutes. And a lot of times we get excited at the end and just cut it off, but we've got a 5-minute buffer. And it just goes to show how fast this 30 minutes does go. And I've been speaking really fast tonight because I wanted to try and jam a lot into a short show.
Well, it's going to be great, and we should do podcasts more often.
No, I agree.
Have it once,
let's do it.
Why only have it once a year on Valentine's Day?
All right, then I'm going to take you up on that, and because you know me, I'll take you up on stuff. Laura Loomer says, let's do it. I'm like, right there. Did you want to do it tomorrow morning, Laura? Can you do it at like 7 a.m.? No, we'll do it.
Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.? We'll come up with a date. We'll talk after the show about when we'll come up with a time. But I'm going to start doing more live streams on Getter, you know, because I have live stream on Getter now. I'm going to start doing a lot more of those, yeah.
That live stream on Getter, do you have to be at a certain level to do a live stream on Getter, or what's the scoop on the live stream?
One day I just wanted to do it, and I noticed they didn't have me, so I tagged them and said, what the hell, I want live stream. How come I don't have live stream and other people do? And then one day I woke up and I had live stream.
Okay. I see. So that button just appeared.
Excellent. Yeah, after
It was a great live stream, and it worked really good. The video quality was good.
But I've been doing live streams lately.
They're good. So, anyway, that's it. This is the fifth annual Laura Loomer Valentine Show on First District Politics, which First District Politics is a lot. You know, Wisconsin is a bellwether, Laura, so I don't take what goes on here in Wisconsin lightly. You know that. And I try to get as much of the information about you out in Wisconsin so that someday when you need all 50 states to win to become the president of the United States, we're going to already have some of the groundwork done in Wisconsin. So you see what my long game plan is here? I'm a little bit like you. You play the short game, but you're also playing the long game. So am I.
Wisconsin. Yeah, you're trying to plan early.
All right. That's what I'm doing. So, all right. Thank you so much. Do you want to say anything? One last thing. I'm going to just say, Laura, I love you so much. The fan club loves you. We've got people on the chat that love you. The people on the live stream love you. The fan club is going better than ever. So thank you for everything, and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too. And thank you to everybody on the fan club. And be sure that you go to LauraLoomerForCongress.com and that you're signed up to get all my texts and updates so that you can keep track of what I'm doing every single day.
That's it. And that's, I think, one of the last posts on the Instagram is go volunteer and sign up at LauraLoomerForCongress.com. LauraLoomerForCongress.com. All right. Thank you, Laura. That was a fast 30 minutes, and we will talk again soon. Goodbye, everybody, and have a great night.